Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Do you have a child in your life who wants to be seen, noticed, and appreciated for who they are and what value they bring to the family? Well, you are not alone. Today's guest will show you and I how to help the kids in our lives create a new sense of inner wealth.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold heart evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Morning enthusiasts, welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. Today, I have the honor of introducing a special guest, Howard Glaser. Howie is the creator of Nurtured Heart Approach, a dynamic relationship-focused methodology that builds inner wealth in children. This approach empowers them to channel their intensity in productive ways, ensuring their successful future. Howie is the founder of the nonprofit Children's Successful Foundation, which trains and certifies parents, educators, and treatment professionals, also foster parents and communities in the Nurtured Heart Approach. Howie, along with his team at the Children's Successful Foundation, has successfully improved the kids' patterns of disruptive behaviors. Just amazing the work he's been able to do. Howie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Lynette.
I'm so excited to have you here because what you are about to share with our audience is impacting, is going to impact parents and anyone that is working with kids and also within the school system. So today I would like to discuss with you your invention, the Nurtured Heart Approach. We'll talk about that a little bit. We'll talk about running a nonprofit organization, what the hassle and the fulfillment behind that, as well as the DSM-5, diagnosing kids with mental health so early on in their childhood and how it follows them for the rest of their lives. And you will present to us what is the alternative. And of course, at the end of it all, we'll talk about your robust morning routine.
Okay.
Fantastic. So let's get right to it. So I know I abbreviated the Nurtured Heart Approach, the NHA, was birthed by the need for transforming the most intense children. So including those with ADHD, autism, and other behavioral diagnosis by channeling their energies in inspiring ways. Tell us about your background.
Well, I actually pursued a career as a therapist. I studied psychology and I got a job as a family therapist. And I got to see that parents could say things to their kids that the child started to respond to, but the parent had no idea they drew the child in. And even though this child was challenging and there were things that parents thought were super cool and important, you know, and they gave the perfect lecture, but the child was moving away energetically. And I started to put those things together and form an approach based on the truth of the moment, based on the truth of energy, based on how to engage those gears so that parents could start having the impact they really wanted.
So I'm hearing change the language that we have towards our kids.
Oh, yeah, it's changing the language, but synchronizing that with aligned energy. In other words, I'll give you an example. Most parents really would say that they were all in on teaching kids to be respectful. They care deeply about that value, and they try and instill that. And some kids, innocently pick up an impression that when they do the right thing, when they are being respectful, when they're living up to that value, their parents might not say a word, or they might at most say, thank you, good job. Very low key in the big picture. When the child is being disrespectful, you know, parents are never too busy for a problem. They could say they're busy and their plate is full, but a problem happens. Let's say the child is disrespectful and the parent is right there and they're leaning in and their veins are popping. And they have so much to say. We're so good at seeing what's wrong with the picture. And they don't just say a little bit like, thank you, good job. They say, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. You should, you know, this is going to ruin your life. You know, they start giving their sermons and lectures. And, you know, this is just normal parenting, normal traditional parenting. We get worked up into a froth when the child's not breaking the rules. Some kids innocently, inadvertently pick up and habitualize a belief based on the truth that they get such a greater gift of their parent. They get such a deeper, juicier realm of connection with their parent. They, in effect, get better broadband when they are doing exactly opposite of what their parent wants. And my work is how to turn that around by getting the truth and the energy aligned. So when the child isn't being disrespectful, when they're not causing problems, when they're not annoying their siblings, when they're not saying bad words, arguing with their parents, that's to me the ripest time to jump in and say, Billy, Sarah, you're being respectful right now. You're giving your sister space to do her homework. You're not playing your music loud right now. That's being respectful. You are showing me you have this great quality. I see that great quality in you. So I'm really trying to get parents to relish the opportunity, you know, even when the child looks like they're annoyed and going to be disrespectful, the truth is they haven't done it yet. If they haven't broken a rule, that's the time to jump in and say, I see you using restraint. You know, I get that you're mad, but you've decided in this moment to be respectful. And that's a beautiful thing I see in you. Thank you for that extra effort. You've had to work really hard and use your power and wisdom. You are being respectful. And this is what I've seen, is that these kids who come into the world with great intensity, you know, just, you know, you, Lanid, you have a beautiful life based on your life force. You have more life force than the next person, don't you? And, you know, it's how you live your passion. It's how you get the things done you want to get done. And if your life force disappeared tomorrow, you'd be at a loss, wouldn't you?
Right. Yep.
So, you know, I don't want to send kids a message, we need to get rid of your life force and make it go away. I want kids to be able to take their life force and their intensity and have it become the fuel for their fire. And by putting them in touch with this aligned truth of the moment, they start getting confident that they could use their intensity well, and they become the best kids on the planet, to me.
Yeah, I really love what you said about knowing when the kids will be responsive to the uplifting comment or to addressing what the issue is, and not addressing it when you are angry and smoke is coming out of your ears, right? And your face is turning red.
Exactly.
Because that only will instill fear, and that will actually, believe it or not, some social conditioning, it will just feed that same behavior.
It feeds the same behavior. You know, if I'm a kid, and I was one of these kids, if I am one of these kids and I've come to believe that I get, based on energy at the level of reality, at the level of energy, if I come to believe I get more to life through negativity, when my parent gets upset with me, that's a big reward.
You don't get your way. You got to get back. I mean, you're vengeful at that point. You're a kid.
I'm getting the gift of my mom. Or my gift to my dad. I'm getting big connection with them, even though they have smoke coming out of their ears.
Like the choo-choo train.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, we get, and then, you know, compare that to the measly, you know, at most, thank you, good job. We normally say when things are going right, it's no comparison.
It's an art, Howie. It sounds like the...
It's an art.
Yeah,
it
the is. Nurtured heart approach is an art and a science, right? Because it's an art in the sense that you have to know when to apply it. And then the science portion of it is the tools, is the step-by-steps that you have invented and you have been teaching parents and these professionals. So tell us a little bit about what the science portion of it, right?
But can I say something about science? There are a lot of brilliant colleagues. I've had so much success with these kids that stump everybody else. And there are people in my field, different disciplines related to my field. And literally half of them say, you know, they know all the research, they know all the science, and half of them say it's a brain disorder. And when you listen deeply to what they say, when it comes down to it, it's their recommendation is medication A, B, C, or D. And then the other half of the people think it's a chemical imbalance. And when it comes down to it, despite all their science, they say the best thing we could do is medication A, B, C, or D. And to me, medication has never been the answer. Medication and actually makes things worse. Medication complicates things. It sends a message to the child, something's wrong with you because of your intensity. We need to make it go away. That is the wrong message. And you know, half the school shooters or more have been loaded to the hilt on medications. Medications have very tenuous components, and it's hit and miss. And so many kids wind up aggressive and feeling like a ghost to themselves. They're not getting to be their true self.
Right. And medication only treats the symptom, right? It does not get to the root problem. It doesn't, there's no holistic approach to it.
No, there isn't. And you know, if for all the parents who have raised their voice to their kids or threatened their kids, that you're only doing that because you believe that they have success in their repertoire. You wouldn't be yelling at a kid who had no possibility of responding. So, you know, if all you have is normal, traditional, conventional approaches, when push comes to shove, you wind up being more and more and more increasingly punitive and drastic. So you're making it's like putting gas on a fire. And so the what I'm getting at is the real intention of a parent who gets annoyed at their kid is deep down what they really want is change. Deep down what they really want is transformation. They don't want just a revolving door where yelling works for 3 minutes and then you're back to square zero. They really want to see the same intensity that's driving them crazy be the source of the child's greatness. And that's what I do. You know, I'm a voice for the greatness of children so they eventually could find their own voice of greatness. And that's what they do.
And so the approach seeks greatness in being present, being in the moment, in checking into what is right at the moment, what is happening, what are they doing correctly.
Exactly. I'm gonna pick on you for a minute. So I could just say the need you are conducting a beautiful interview. Good job. Or I could say, let me tell you what your questions reveal. You have a thirst for knowledge. I see that in you. I appreciate that in you. You have a quest to make this accessible to your listeners. You have, you tell me if I missed the mark on any of this, but I hear in your voice and in the nature of your questions, you have a beautiful inquisitive nature that helps you to roll out your questions. So they have a beautiful flow and sequence. I could tell flow is meaningful to you. And so what that reveals to me is you care so deeply about humanity. You care so deeply for the sake of your listeners. You are the greatness of caring. You are the greatness of being reverent. To the realm of knowledge. You seem to be listening beautifully. That's, how not great would it be if you weren't listening carefully and expressing yourself diligently. So you have that greatness too. You know, to me, we could put the moment under a microscope, and it reveals, just like anything in nature, you could see deeper and deeper levels of beauty. That's how I feel about kids. The every moment that they're not creating a stir, you could put under the microscope and call them out, confront them on their greatness. It's a warrior. It's kind of got a namby-pamby name, but it's a warrior approach. I'm playing hardball with the truth.
You are phenomenal. Thank you for those kind words. And you are right on, Howie. You hit it on the nail.
Really?
Yes.
See, yeah, it's right there. You know, you're not hiding it very well, Monique.
I am thirst. I have a thirst for knowledge, and I know what it's like to not know. Because they say knowledge is power, but the power is when you apply what you learn. Mm-hmm. That's where the power really lies. I'm so big on not just my own self-development, but others, how to live a better and more fulfilled life. That's what drives me on a daily basis. And that's why
I'm glad you acknowledge your greatness. I'm glad you're owning it, because that's what makes you powerful.
Thank you. And that's why what drew me to you is you actually share the same thing. You want the parents to thrive, not only the parents, but you want the kids to thrive so well, because they are our future, right? You think about it. Excuse me. With the way that the approach works, you're transforming and changing the kids' lives. But in the process, you know what's happening? You're changing the hearts of the parents, the caretakers.
Yes. I know that's secondary when a parent comes to ask for help. But I'm utterly aware that if this goes well, it could change them to the core. It could change the way they vote. It could change the way they see life. And I'm hopeful of that. I mean, I think the world right now is in trouble, and the universe is sending us droves of these intense kids who are the hope of the future. And as it is now, not too many people understand how to see the beauty in them and how to unfold the greatness in them. And so, you know, the jails have been filled with intense people. You know, and medication, most of them have been on medication. It hasn't worked. And, you know, that's not the answer. We need better answers. And I think I have my heart set on this becoming mainstream and helping all the families that need this kind of help so that, yes, that they can be the ones who can change the planet. Because I know there are things that are happening now, like global warming and that kind of thing, that I don't think our current population is fully prepared to take on. I have hope of creating, strong kids that are stronger than ever who can say, of course, we got it. We're going to make this happen.
And it's refreshing because we can take the pressure off the school system to take care of our kids for us. To emotionally take care of our kids. Teachers already have enough on their plate, right? And then parents, they're overwhelmed, I understand. And send kids off to school and says, let the school deal with them.
Well, and we need teachers to be on board too, because, teachers are not, they're very kind hearted, beautiful people, but they have, not up until now, generally speaking, been trained to work with the level of intensity that they're getting. And, you know, when I was a kid, there might have been a random kid or two who flew in their face, and they could get away with coming down hard on kids. But teachers can't do that anymore. And they, you know, now it's 5, 6, 7 of these kids in a classroom. And teachers, we can't afford to lose teachers. They get burnt out and they quit the field. And we need to have them armed yep. with ways of interacting that bring out the best in all kids.
Absolutely.
I think by way of these kids, they have to rise to the occasion. And at some point, there's no choice. Mm-hmm. And by way of these kids, they'll be better prepared to bring out the best in other kids, too.
Yes. So how do we equip the parents? What are three tips for parents about to know about how to increase their kids' engagement in school and eventually later on in life?
So based on what I'm saying, that kids can watch their world and come to an impression they get more intellect through negativity. Number one tip would be we got to have a way of being absolutely clear in our no, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to give the gift of me to the nonsense. I'm not going to get inveigled in, you know, all my reactive lecturing ways when a problem happens. When a problem happens, I am going to have a clear consequence, but it's the nature of the consequence is to get it over with. So number two would be, I want to have good rules. And when a rule is broken even a little bit, I'm going to say to a child, reset. The purpose of a reset, just like in a video game, when a child gets booted offline, is to just create an illusion of a consequence so the child eventually gets it together so that we could start applauding again and build inner wealth. That's my main objective, is to build inner wealth. So the whole objective of a rule being broken is to get through it with the child having the impression they've had a consequence. So let's say a child's yelling and I say reset. That might seem like nothing, and it is kind of nothing, but my objective is the second the child stops yelling to be in the next truth, to be in that truth, and to take advantage of that truth by saying, thank you. You might still be mad at me, but you're not yelling now. I really like the choice you're making. And that's a beautiful quality I see in you to make those kinds of hard choices. You're using your wisdom and your power right now. And so I want to build them up. So that's the third thing is when the problems aren't happening, or after a problem happened and it's over, and now the child isn't being problematic, that's when to really dig in and play hardball and take advantage of all the beauty you see in your child. So all the values you care deeply about, that's the point to say, William, here's, you may not realize it, but you're not yelling, you're not fussing, you haven't been fighting, you haven't been annoying all morning long. That shows me you care about our family rules. That shows me you are thoughtful and considerate. Those are beautiful qualities I see in you. That's where we want to just, that's the real wealth to me. I mean, you could show me a kid who's got inner wealth but doesn't have two nickels to rub together. They're going to be fine. They're going to make it in the world. It's not about having the monetary inheritance as much as having, because think of all the kids with monetary inheritances who have miserable lives and who are depressed or they get into big trouble with drugs and alcohol and everything else. It's not the money. It's not the outer wealth. It's the inner wealth to me that we're fighting for.
And I love how you coined that. It's inner wealth. It's the first time I've heard that term and coined together the way it is.
Well, the term came to me 15 years ago and I trademarked it. And I'm glad I did, because now we're, I just was in a meeting in Austin, Texas last week, and we're talking about starting a network of inner wealth schools. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, the inner wealth focuses on nurturing those healthy relationships between child and parent.
and between child and child. You know, kids who, you know, schools that have taken this up, Vinit, they have seen their rate of bullying become negligible, and in some cases non-existent, you know, where kids who only knew how to connect through negativity and name calling or, you know, fussing or, you know, being a bully. That once a school has this as their mainspring, kids come to treat each other nicely and see, you know, say nice things to one another. All along, bullies just wanted to connect, but they didn't know anything better.
Mm-hmm. I've read some testimonials on the website and seen some videos on how parents have been transformed with the relationships have improved tremendously and parents are getting better, kids are getting better. What have you seen in your case in terms of kids getting off, say they have ADHD, right? They have ADD, getting off medication and going on to live a more calm and fulfilled life?
I'd much rather work with kids before mm-hmm. they get on medication and avoid the complex issues altogether. For many of the families I've worked with, this is what happens, is the parent finds their way to nurtured heart. They discover that medications alone doesn't cure anything. Before the meds kick in the morning and after they wear off in the afternoon, the problems are still there. There's been no healing. So they're, you know, so hopefully in their quest to find something to help, they find their way to something like what we're talking about. And what I found when I've worked with people in that situation, kids currently on medication, is at some point, it's typically a couple of months in, the parent realizes, wow, this child has changed and it's not my imagination and it's happening as a result of what I'm doing. I'm having impact and I'm seeing changes. So it's typically organic over time that they mention this to the physician involved and they explain that things are getting better. Maybe we could start weaning off the medication. It's up to them. And it's based on their growing comfort. But, you know, I've seen a fairly good percentage of families get to that situation where they go, I could handle it without medication. And you know, sometimes the kid in that situation will say to their parents, can we take me off medication because I don't like how it feels? I think the healthier somebody gets, the more apt they are to be able to say, you know, you eat well. You know, we were chatting before and you were telling me about your wellness in light of foods. And, you know, when we're on that path, the more we say no to what doesn't work for our system, the more we discover, more apt we are to discover what does fuel our system. And the more we find our way to what does fuel our system, the clearer and clearer we get about what doesn't. So it's a process. Mm-hmm. Same here, same in this situation. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I agree. Absolutely. It's a process of getting to know your body, tuning into your body, your system. And the kids are intelligent enough to sense when something's wrong, when this medication is throwing their chemistry off.
Yes. You know, in the beginning, they don't have a vote typically. And in the beginning, they might not be knowledgeable enough about themselves to be able to voice that. But as they get strong on the inside through this kind of work, if it's going well, and the patterning is changing, then they find their voice and they're more likely to express it.
Yeah. What age group, what age do you start with them and how long do you treat them?
You know, if you got a baby in your tummy now's a good time to start. You know, I have one child, she's 28 now, but she was really the test case for this approach. I now know many people who have done this from inception. And I don't think there's any, you know, I believe in early onset greatness. I don't want to wait till I die to have people lined up at the microphone saying, Howard was a great person. You know, I want to hear about it while I'm still alive. That's an interesting point. There are 150,000 people a day on the average who are passing away. And how many of them have heard a word about the greatness they live? And but pretty much everybody at their memorial service have people telling the people congregated there for the memorial, you know, oh, this person, this is how great this person is. You know, people lined up at the mic to speak about the greatness. It's too late.
Yep.
Good timing, not good timing. Let's tell, you know, so any age works. You know, I there are programs now who are using it from 0 to 3. There are many Head Start and early childhood programs using this. There are many elementary schools, not as many middle and high schools, but there are programs addressing that age group from 12 to 20 that are using this. The state of New Jersey adopted Nurtured Heart Approach to go with their trauma-informed care in out-of-home placements, kids in group homes, and kids in residential treatment. And that's being researched by Rutgers. And it was orchestrated through Rutgers. And we hope to be showing in the next few months that they've saved millions of dollars. And they've had great outcomes as a result of this, just this different style of interacting.
Mm-hmm. I can see this helping a lot with in-home therapy.
Yeah. I believe that there's a growing number, you know, it's probably in the thousands of counselors and therapists and psychologists who found their way to this kind of work. And what I get when you said that is this flash of, oh, of course, you know, these group homes and these residential treatment programs, I actually just visited one. One of the things they begin focusing on is how to assure this kid's gonna make it this next go around when they get reunited with their parents. And that's where they are doing in-home therapy. And it is a beautiful circumstance to be able to connect all those dots.
Fantastic, Howie. It really is.
Thank you, Lindy.
Yeah, it's well done. So I did in-home therapy and outpatient therapy for 3 years prior to coming to San Diego out in Boston. And I would go into the homes and actually work with these kids. And they were on the spectrum, of course, ADHD. And honestly, I would simply do play therapy with the kids and their world would light up. Okay.
Because they would feel cherished by you.
That's it. Sometimes that's all it takes. It's not rocket science.
It's not. And then in the midst of that, if you could, and I'm sure you did this, if you could bring the parent in for a part of that and have them witness what it's like for the child to light up and feel cherished and kind of connect dots for them. I'm sure you did that all the time. That's to me core facilitating piece for a family is to transfer that knowledge over to the parent.
Absolutely. Yes. And I did. And parents, I'm all willing. Just show them how. A lot of them don't know. They're overwhelmed. They don't know how to do it. And the first initial reaction is anger or trying to instill fear so you can control these kids. But you really, it's not what you want to do. You want to liberate the mind, not control the mind, right?
And, you know, exactly. And, you know, inevitably the main event is the transference over to the child of being able to cherish themselves and feel like they deserve to be cherished in their lives. And that's going to change the formatting in the long run. And I'm sure you did that beautifully.
Yeah. And that ties it right back around to the inner wealth that you are talking about, building that confidence, building that self-worth, that you're confident, but you're capable, that you can control the emotions, right? The behaviors you put the kids in charge. You get buy-in from them. I really love that term. You get them involved in their own treatment.
And, you know, that is the core. You know, I know at some point you're going to ask me about my morning routine. What's your term for it? Morning magic, or you have a better term for it?
I simply say, how do you get up, dress up, and show up?
I feel like that is the crux of what I try and accomplish in the morning. I mean, yes, I do make a fruit smoothie or a green smoothie in the morning. Yes, I exercise. The main thing I try and do is, you know, before I get out of bed, I'm claiming something. I'm saying I am the greatness of freedom. I am the greatness of empowerment. So I'm very deliberately trying to move the needle of my inner wealth. And, you know, I believe thoroughly that if I can go from, you know, let's make up something arbitrary, like a scale of 10, if I could go from 6.23 to 6.25, some of the things I struggled with yesterday will just dissolve. And then when I have enough time in the morning, most mornings I will go sit for maybe only 10 minutes before I get into exercise. I will continue this, but I'm going to take on more meaty stuff while I'm, you know, meditating. I'm going to be more deliberate. Like, there are things I've been building on for years, you know, about, you know, I am the greatness of manifesting, da 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 da. I make things up. Mm-hmm. But I feel with every cell in my body that by taking, transposing energy, transforming the energy that lives in me.
It's truly inner wealth, because you're using declarations and you're declaring this over your life. You're declaring this over your day, that it is going to, there's greatness that's going to unfold for you. The affirmations that you say are setting the tone, because like you said, if you wake up and it's a 6.23, you need it to be at a 7 or higher. You're going to have to actually do the work. And that's where affirmations and declarations come in, because you're almost like tricking the mind to actually catch up to the way you want to feel, because we wake up with the same thoughts we had yesterday. And yesterday we had over 60,000 thoughts, and 90% of those thoughts were negative. And so you're waking up with the same thoughts today. Mm-hmm. And you got to reframe your mind. And that's what your declaration does, to actually foster this inner wealth that you are referring to, right? Because you need to be able to put in the work in changing your energy, your frequency.
I love your word declaration. It is. We don't want to have that same old, same old. I don't want anything to do with that. And I don't want to give energy to my negativity. Just the same advice I would give a parent. It's the same thing on the inside. I want to be clear. I'm not going to give the gift of me. I'm not going to give the love I have in me to my negativity. I'm going to draw a line, and I'm going to choose deliberately to make those kinds of declarations. That is a very powerful word. And I feel in this day and age, in this moment in time, in kind of the craziness of what's going on politically, and stress on levels of stress in our world, we need that empowerment more than ever. We need to be absolutely declarative in how we live our life. I think that's how social justice is going to change. I think that's how equity is going to change. I think that's how all the important issues of our time are going to change, is by us getting exceedingly clear about who we are.
Absolutely. And it's a daily dose of it, right? Because whatever you're focusing on, if you're focusing on those bad thoughts, energy is going to flow towards those bad thoughts. If you're focusing on the good thoughts, or you're declaring the positive, that's going to grow as well. So it could go either way. You choose.
Yeah, we choose. We choose. And that your words, your description are completely aligned with how I feel and how I've been living my life. And I feel like my life is a testimony to the power of that train of thinking. You know, I could look back and say, I owe everything I have achieved to this point, to that point of view that you just described.
And it shows. It shows in your work. It shows in your life passion, because this is your baby. This is, you've nurtured this. You've built and created this to help the millions and millions of kids out there. Because there's, as you said earlier, there's more and more of them developing. High intensity, they call the black sheep of the family, and they too need love. They too need our help. And that's what you have set out to do and live your passion.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, I did not set out to do this. I wasn't planning on developing an approach. It developed me. I just simply was trying to help. And as this became more regimented, and as it became more fluid for in getting better outcomes, people started asking me if I could teach this. So I started teaching parenting classes.
And we thank you for your servanthood, because you're now teaching parents and the professionals in this field how to do this. And it's going to live on to change, transform the lives of a lot of kids.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing with us about the nurtured heart approach. It really is a game changer for a lot of kids and a lot of parents. It's empowering parents all over the country that they too can foster change in their kids. You know, they're not hopeless anymore. There's a sense of power there. And that's huge. It's hard to give that. And I'm so grateful to have had this conversation with you. And I want to talk about how can we connect with you to get in touch with the Children's Successful Foundation and to get in touch with your work, and also get in touch with to learn more about the Nurtured Heart Approach.
Yeah, there is a wealth. Thank you for asking, Lynette. There is a wealth of information at the Children's Success Foundation.com. And if you look up Howard Glasser, it will lead you to the Children's Success Foundation, in case people don't write that down. And if you look up Nurtured Heart Approach, everything will lead you there. And there's a lot of information. There's a lot of instructional videos. There is actually an online class. Some people who get excited about this become certified trainers. We do certification trainings a few times a year. And what I love is I haven't had a practice of my own for quite a few years, but there's so many people out there teaching parenting classes and doing counseling based on this, and coaching in areas in regions that I would never ever have enough days in a year to get to. So you know, people are finding out, people are bringing this to their communities and their schools and their organizations. So I'd say that's the best way to get in touch with my work, and that's the best way to get in touch with me, is at childrenssuccessfoundation.com.
Yes, I'm really grateful that you came on the show. Just a brief recap. The gist of it is nurturing the relationships. Parents, get to know your kids. Spend time with them. They don't have to be a problem child anymore. There is an approach to actually get rid of that. They are the product of their environment. And if you, the parents, are able to focus on what they're doing well, not the labels, not the diagnosis, but all the things that they are doing well, and then change the language towards them, right? So talk about, they're very impressionable at that age. So change the language to seek out greatness, to be present, to be in the moment, see what they do right, and actually hone in on that. Build them, which was the third step you mentioned, Howie, is like build them up. And that building them up process will create inner wealth that will foster change for the rest of their life.
Yes, it's not a empty, false, cheerleaderly type of building them up. It's got a real substance. You may not realize this, but I'll pick on you again, Lenny. You may not realize just what a force you are. I hope you do realize that you rally your energies in such a concerted way to make your interviewee feel so understood and so cherished. And your recap of what I said is so completely right on. So you have this amazing facility to digest information and to distill it down into its core. So I appreciate that about you. That those are beautiful qualities, in case you don't realize how beautiful those qualities are.
You are make me cry on the air, Howie.
Okay. That was my other goal.
You are fantastic. It's been a pleasure and such a delight just chatting with you. I thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having such a great show of your creation.
Well, all right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate. But you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.